Okay, today is March 31st, 2014. Okay, we start one time homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. And today we're doing the new course in reading Pali. We are starting with lesson 4. And we'll start with the grammar. Yeah, we finished. Did we finish lesson 3?
No.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. So we still have a couple of passages in lesson 3 to finish.
That's okay.
So I'm on page 42. And this is subsection or section 3. So I'll read and then you read after me. You recite after me. Idam kopana bhikkhave.
Idam kopana bhikkhave.
Dukkham arya satyam.
Dukkham arya satyam.
Okay, so this is a passage on the Four Noble Truths. So here we have idam. This is the pronoun, which means this. And then kopana is just what I call a connective. It's hard to translate. It's just like in English when we're about to start something, we say, now I'm going to explain this lesson. So it doesn't really add anything beyond I am going to explain this lesson. Okay, bhikkhave is the vocative, so the Buddha is addressing the monks. And then idam, the pronoun, goes with dukkham, means suffering. And then arya is noble, and satya is truth. So literally, it's this, O monks, is the suffering noble truth. But the noble truth itself, you know, doesn't undergo suffering. Shangdi Mayo Dweda Kutong. But rather, so we say this in English, we say this is the noble truth of suffering. But literally, it's this is the suffering noble truth. Okay, so then he continues. Jati pi dukkha, jara pi dukkha. Vyadi pi dukkha. Maranam pi dukkham. Apiyehi sampayogo dukkho.
Apiyehi sampayogo dukkho.
Piyehi vipayogo dukkho.
Piyehi vipayogo dukkho.
Yam pichang na labhati.
Yam pichang na labhati.
Tampi dukkham.
Tampi dukkham.
Sankhitena.
Sankhitena.
Panchupadana kandapi dukkha.
Panchupadana.
Okay, so now he's enumerating the different forms of dukkha. And so we have first, birth is suffering, we can say. And notice the P, after each one there's a P. Now, in Pali, when you are creating a series of terms, we put the P after each one. But in English, we wouldn't say birth and is suffering, but we usually have the first one with, actually in English, usually when we have a series of terms, we usually put and only at the very end. But in Pali, we put a conjunction. That's a word like P or cha. Conjunction means the you. In Chinese? Yinjia. Yinjia. So in Pali, we put the conjunction after each word. So in English, we wouldn't translate birth also is suffering, or we would just say first birth is suffering. But then we have jara pituka, that means old age. Then we could say also is suffering. Then vyadi means illness, sickness. So sickness also is suffering. And then maranang is death. So death also is suffering. Okay, now we have a more complex expression. Appiyehi sampiyogo dukho. No, you recited already. Okay, now the word piya, P-I-Y-A, means dear or beloved. And so the negation of that is appiya. That means undear or disagreeable. And then sampiyogo means coming together with or association with. In what case, appiyehi?
Instrumental.
What?
Instrumental.
Right. I think it's instrumental. So it's association with those who are undear. You know, when you meet with disagreeable people, people one dislikes, so that is dukkha. Then the opposite is piyehi vipayogo dukkho, and this is, you see, the prefix sang means, suggests together. It's somewhat like in English, the prefix com or con, like combination, compound, to combine, or conglomerate, means together. Whereas V often suggests separation. It's like division. And so vipayogo is separation. And then we have piyehi vipayogo dukho. And what case is piyehi? Right, I think I heard Kim say it. Piyehi is ablative. Now, appiyehi and piyehi, you see they have the same ending, but with association, it makes sense to take it as instrumental. You associate with people, but you become separated from people. So this is association with the undear ones is suffering, and separation from dear ones, from those who are beloved, is suffering. Okay, then the next one, we have even more complex expression. Here we have actually the relative and demonstrative pronouns. First, yam pi chung nilabhati. Okay, the word icha means the stem form ends with the long A. So it's a feminine noun. Icha means desire. And so here it's what is that which is one's desire? Na labhate. One does not get what one desires. Tampi dukkhang. That too is suffering. So usually we translate not to get what one desires. That is suffering. And then sankitena. Sankitena, what case is it?
Instrumental singular.
Yeah, it's originally an instrumental singular, but it's used in the special sense, almost like an ablative. We would say briefly or in brief. I'm trying to remember the Chinese expression. Is it yu, yushuo? Speaking short and brief? No, that's simply. But maybe I'm just thinking of the old style Chinese. Anyway. Okay, anyway, you look that up. In English, it means briefly, in short. So briefly, then we have panch upadana kanda. So the word pancha means what?
Five.
Right, five. And upadana is?
Factors.
No. Upadana is
aggregates?
No.
Clinging.
Yeah, not arising. Arising is upada, different word. So upadana is clinging or grasping. I think this is the Chinese chu. And then chu, the first tone? I thought it was third tone. Maybe. Yeah. Anyway.
Attachment.
Yeah.
Attachment.
Yeah. And then kanda is, that's the word that means aggregate. So these are literally five clinging aggregates. And then sankitena means in brief. So in brief, in short, briefly, the five clinging aggregates also are dukkha. Now, why do we have jati? We say dukkha, long A. Jara, dukkha, long A. Vyadi, dukkha, long A. But maranang dukkhang, here we have the ung sound. Sampiyogo, dukko. Why does dukkha keep on changing? its gender, but why does it change the gender?
First it was feminine, then neuter, then masculine.
To match the adjective?
To match what?
The adjective.
Not the adjective. To match what?
The noun.
The noun, right. Because dukkha here is an adjective, and it's going along with the its gender conforms to that of the noun that it's describing. So even though we translate it as suffering, but it's really somewhat like, I don't like to use the adjective, but it's like painful. So it's like birth is painful. Old age is painful, illness is painful, death is painful, and so on. Okay, any questions on this passage? No, sankhitena, grammatically, it's instrumental singular, but it is used very often, so it comes to function like an adverb, meaning briefly, or like an expression, meaning in short, in brief. You know, so it somewhat loses the original function as an instrumental, and it just becomes an adverb.
Thank you.
Okay. Shall we move on to the next passage?
I have a question, Bhante.
Yeah, please.
So, it seems to me like translating dukkha here as painful makes so much more sense than suffering. I mean, I know when we chant this passage almost every day, and for a long time I try to understand what is the Buddha mean by this. But to think of it as painful just makes it so much easier. Why do you think people translate it as suffering in a case like this?
Yeah, the reason why I don't like painful is because actually, the first things that are mentioned up to the five aggregates are actually also painful. But if you say that the five aggregates are painful, it doesn't mean that that one is always experiencing pain in the five aggregates, painful feeling. But it really means that actually one could, in the case of the five aggregates, you could say that they're unsatisfactory or deficient.
Right.
But it's just that the word dukkha in this, the whole passage, it's always functioning as an adjective describing the particular noun, whereas the word suffering is a noun. And even suffering in relation to the five aggregates is not, you know, literally accurate, because there's also, you know, pleasure and joy in the five aggregates, but that even that pleasure and joy is dukkha. And also, though, it says not to get what one wants is dukkha, but as every child who's gotten a heap of Christmas presents knows, also to get what one wants is dukkha. And every aspiring businessman who's earned his first million knows that 2 or 3 months after getting that first million, that also is dukkha. Because there are multimillionaires and billionaires still ahead of you.
But Bhante, I think that suffering fits, because if you say painful, it almost minimizes, opposed to saying suffering, it minimizes what it really is.
Yeah, I mean, there's all, you know, different perspectives on this. I use, in my translation, suffering, but when giving an explanation, I always have to point out that it doesn't mean that all the five aggregates or all our experience is always, you know, that we're always miserable, unhappy, wretched. And also,
well, it seems like dukkha is one of...
Yeah. Finish.
Sorry.
No, well, finish.
It seems like dukkha is one of the words that's good to leave untranslated.
Yeah, but I think if you leave it untranslated when explaining the Dhamma to people, they don't have... It doesn't give them a foothold of understanding. So I would translate it, but then you have to give an explanation of what is meant. And also, I should point out that, yeah, I just want to point out that in the expression upadana khanda, there's a little bit of a metaphor involved here, in that upadana, on the one hand, it means clinging, but the word is also used to indicate the fuel of a fire, and the word khanda, which is applied to the five aggregates, also is used to mean the stacks of wood that one puts to make a fire. So the fires could be greed, hatred, and delusion, or the fire of craving, which is burning on these five heaps. The five heaps are body, feeling, perception, volitional activities, and consciousness, which become the fuel for the fires of greed, hatred, and delusion. Okay, Kim, was that you?
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, as we read the expression, how do we identify which ones are nouns and which ones are adjectives? I'm kind of unsure about that part.
Okay, she's asking, when you look at this passage, how do you identify which is the noun and which is the adjective? Well, you know that things like birth, old age, sickness, death, that those are nouns. It's just like in English. And then also we know that the word dukkha is often functions as an adjective. It just comes through, through acquaintance, partly common sense, because we know that birth, old age, sickness, death, just by their nature are nouns. And then through acquaintance, one sees that the word dukkha functions as an adjective describing whatever noun it qualifies. Okay, let us move on now to section number 4. Okay, this is from the questions of King Melinda. And so the King Melinda is asking, well, first we'll read it, then I'll explain. Bhante Nagasena, King Lakanang Vinyanang, Vijanana Lakanang Maharaja,
Vijanana Lakanang
Vinyanang. Okay, so the king asks the monk Nagasena, he's saying, in normal English we would translate the question, what is the characteristic of consciousness? But the way it's set out grammatically, the subject here is consciousness. So the word vinyanang is what case? It's nominative. There's actually no verb, no object. There's just the nominative subject, vinyanang. But then vinyanang is being described by a compound which uses a question mark. So it's literally, he's saying, Bhante Nagasena, what characteristic consciousness? And so King Lakanang is functioning as, we could call this an it sounds very big expression, interrogative compound. That is, interrogative means it's asking a question, and it's a compound because it joins a question mark to another word, which is what is being asked about, in this case, the characteristic. So he's saying, Bhante Nagasena, consciousness has what characteristic? Maybe that's a good way to put it. Consciousness has what characteristic? And then the answer also makes consciousness the subject. Vijnanang is the subject, and Vijnanang is being described by, we can call this an adjective compound. That is, consciousness has vijanana, means, it's hard to find an exact English word, being conscious. Consciousness has being conscious as its characteristic. Excuse me? You could say knowing also, but the important thing is that the word vijanana is what is called an action noun. That is, it shows something going on, a process noun, whereas vijnanang is a substance noun. We need Sagarananda here. No, to help the Chinese students. Because I don't know grammatical terms in Chinese.
This probably doesn't have
dictionary.
So, Google's. What to look up? Substance noun?
A substance noun versus action noun. I don't know if you get that on a dictionary.
Does the job of three things. It cleans, fights stains, and brightens your clothes.
No, the address bar, by
no, the mall.
This one.
Mall. M-O-R-E.
The address bar.
What is the address bar?
Right below the pointer. Yeah, right there. Click.
This one.
Yeah. And put google.com. And they type it. Google Translate. Google Translate.
Oh. Dongzhuo Mingzi?
Dongmingzi.
Dongzhuo. Dongzhuo Mingzi. Ting de dong. Is that it? And let's see if there's something. Wu, what is this? Ujja means a... Okay, so vinyanang is a substance noun. Ujja means a... Whereas vijanana is 动作名字, in action now. And so he's saying that consciousness has as its characteristic being conscious or consciousing. Can we make up a word, an English word? Consciousing. Let's see if we could get that translated. It doesn't.
Consciousness is 意识名词.
Or being conscious. That's the easiest. Ding dong.
Ding dong, should be
easy. Ding dong, ding dong.
The bell.
Okay, anyway, the important thing, the subject, vinyanang, is being described by an adjective compound that it has being conscious as its characteristic. Okay, now the king says, opamang kurohi. Opamang means a simile. Piyu, I think, Chinese. Piyu. Make a simile. Xiang. I think the old text used piyu. An example. And kurohi, what form of the verb is this?
Imperative.
Say it, Venerable Satchananda.
Imperative.
Right, this is the imperative. And it's the second person singular imperative.
To be conscious, I got 自觉.
Actually, that's not bad. What is the first character?
I think 自己, yeah.
Oh, I see. 自, like 自己, yeah.
自觉,
yeah. Okay. Okay, anyway, let's go continue on. Now we come to the simile. Okay. Okay, I'll recite, you follow. Yata Maharaja.
Yata Maharaja.
Nagara Gutiko.
Nagara Gutiko.
Madje Nagare.
Mache
Nagare. Singatake
Nisino. Singatake
Nisino. Paseya.
Paseya.
Puratima Disato.
Puratima Disato.
Purisang Agachantang.
Purisang Agachantang.
Paseya Dakina Disato.
Paseya Dakina Disato.
Purisang Agachantang. Paseya Pachima Disato.
Paseya Pachima Disato.
Purisang Agachantang.
Purisang Agachantang.
Paseya Uttara Disato.
Paseya Uttara Disato.
Purisang Agachantang.
Purisang Agachantang.
Evam Eva Ko Maharaja.
Evam Eva Ko Maharaja.
Well, let's pause at this point. Okay, so this is the simile. So first the word yata. Yata means just as. Then he's speaking to the king, so he says Maharaja, great king. Now, Nagara Gutiko means the guardian of a city. like in old times, because there would be in cities would be attacked by bandits and by rebels. So there would be always a man who is given the, like a policeman maybe, but he always is patrolling the outskirts of the city, maybe on a tower, looking out for any kind of undesirable people coming from the outside. So, or in this case, it said that the guardian of the city, Mudge Nagare, he's in the middle of the city, Singatike. Singatike is a crossroads. That's a place where all of the roads, you know, converge at the center of the city. Nisino. Nisino means he's sitting. So he's sitting at a crossroads in the middle of the city. And Mudge Nagare, what case? Quick. What case? No. Mudge Nagare. Right. It's the locative case. If you have been learning your declensions, you know Nagara is neuter noun. Locative singular of a neuter is a ending. So in the middle, in English we say the middle of the city, but this is sitting in the city middle. And Singatake, at the crossroads, what case? What case? Right, locative, how many?
Singular.
Right, locative, singular. So at the crossroads, in the middle of the city. Paseya, what form of the verb is this? What form? No. Okay. Optative. That would mean would see or might see. So the city guard sitting in the middle of the city might see Puratima Disato Purisang Agachantang. What is the object here?
Purisang?
Right, meaning what?
Mm-hmm.
Right, a person or a man. Puratima Disato. What grammatical form?
Ablative.
Right, but I want to get from the class here.
Ablative.
Wait, that's not fair. Okay, it's an ablative form. And this is a special ablative form with the toe ending. So it means, and what is the meaning? Puratima disa toe. Venerable Satchinanda, don't speak.
Eastern direction.
Right, very good. So it's from the eastern direction. And akachantang, what grammatical form? Yongxin fashe. Good, very good, excellent. And what case?
Accusative.
Right, very good. It's accusative. And why is it accusative?
Person coming from.
Because it's describing the person. So purisang, the person, is accusative singular. And then the word agachantang is describing what the person is doing. So the person is coming. So this guardian of the city, he might see a man coming from the eastern direction. And then we just have the same thing repeated. He might see a man coming from Dakina Disato, is what direction? southern. Right, from the south. Pachima Disato. There's only two down to two. Okay, from the western direction. And Uttara Disato. That's cheating. Okay, so he might see a man coming from any of these directions. Okay, so now we continue. Eva meva ko Maharaja.
Eva meva ko Maharaja.
Yancha puriso.
Yancha puriso.
Chakuna rupang pasati.
Chakuna rupang pasati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Yancha sotena satang sunati.
Yancha sotena satang sunati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Yancha ganena gandang gayati.
Yancha ganena gandang gayati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Yancha jivaya rasang sayati.
Yancha jivaya rasang sayati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Yancha kayena.
Yancha kayena.
Potabang pusati.
Potabang pusati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Tang vinyanena vijanati.
Yancha manasa.
Yancha manasa.
Damang vijanati.
Damang vijanati.
Tang vinyanena.
Tang vinyanena.
Vijanati.
Vijanati.
Okay, so now we go back up to Eva Meva. Eva Meva means in the same way. So now he's applying the simile. So he says, in the same way, great king. Okay, now we have, in each of these clauses, we have the relative demonstrative construction. Relative is yang, and demonstrative is tang. So first we have yang cha puriso chakuna rupang pasati. So the yang goes with what word here? Suki?
Tang.
Well, it's completed with tang, but in the phrase?
Rupang.
Right. So the yang goes with rupang. So the yang means something like which form or whatever form. So whatever form the man, that's or the person, puriso, sees pasati chakuna. What case chakuna?
Accusative.
No.
Instrumental.
Right. Yongshen, very good. Instrumental. With the eye, by the eye. So whatever form a person sees with the eye, tongue vinyanena vijanati. You see, here the tongue is referring back to yang rupang. So we could also say, if we want to be fuller, we could say tongue rupang vinyanena vijanati. So that form he knows with consciousness. And vinyanena, vinyanena, what case? Venerable Haitian?
Vinyanena. Avati?
No.
Instrumental?
Instrumental. With consciousness. That, whatever form he sees with the eye, that he knows with consciousness. So therefore, consciousness has the function or characteristic, vijnana, of being aware of, being conscious of. Okay, then we have basically the same thing as said. Whatever sound he hears with the ear, he is conscious of that with consciousness. Whatever odor he smells with the nose, that he is conscious of with consciousness. Or you could say that he knows with consciousness. What do they give? Well, they give perceives. Okay, whatever tastes with the tongue, he knows that, or he is conscious of that with consciousness. Whatever tactile sensation he contacts with the body, he knows that with consciousness. And whatever Dhamma, whatever mental object one knows with the mind, one knows that with consciousness. And then he draws the conclusion, Evanko Maharaja. Yeah, you just can follow me. Evanko Maharaja.
Evanko Maharaja.
Vijanana Lakanang.
Vijanana Lakanang.
Vinyanang.
Vinyana.
So Evang means just so or thus. Great king, consciousness has being conscious as its characteristic. So we could say consciousness has knowing as its characteristic. And then the king says, Kalosi Bhante Nagasena.
Kalosi Bhante Nagasena.
Yeah, the word kalo means smart or clever. And the C here stands for usi. You are. You are, this is, asi is the second person based on, we know the verb ati, there is, right? Asmi, I am. And asi is you are. So kalosi is you are clever. You are smart. Maybe in Chinese, li hai. What is that? Chongming. 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 Yeah.
How come it's not kalo hosi instead of?
I think usi tends to be used in cases like this. It's a little peculiar. If it was third person, I think you would say, I'm speaking about somebody else, so puri so kalo hoti. But if I'm speaking about, say, myself, I say kalo asmi, kalosmi, I am clever. Or I'm speaking about a person to you, then I say kalo asi, kalosi, you are clever. It's just the way speech developed. Okay, any questions here? Yeah.
Vinyanan. Is that related to venue?
Okay, the question is whether vinyanang is related to the word venue. Actually, the word venue is actually based upon the same prefix and the same root as vinyanang. Except that vinyanang takes on, they function differently. Vijnanam would be like the awareness in anybody. You know, so a little newborn infant, you say, has Vijnanam, and even a dumb person has Vijnanam. But Vinyu comes to take on the special meaning of somebody who is intelligent or wise. But it comes from the same prefix, V, plus the same root, Nya, to know. Welcome. Any further questions?
Could I ask a question about meanings, Pandit?
Yeah.
So here in the book it says Vijnanam for the meaning. It gives discriminating as a meaning also for Vijnanati. It says perceives, understands with discrimination.
Yeah.
But is it, this is a question about the meaning, is this, is it really discriminating or is it more like bare awareness, like this person who sees people coming at the street, you just know that it's not like you are discriminating too much, you are just aware that, okay, that's a person.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, I'd say that Vijnana has a whole range of functions, from the most simplest bare awareness up to the point of what you call discrimination. But what I'd say is that the actual function of discrimination is performed more by sanya, which translated perception, because it's perception or sanya that sort of selects the characteristics of the object, the marks and features of the object, and thereby identifies the object. Whereas I say vijnana is more the very basic awareness that arises based on a particular sense faculty and opening up that particular objective field to recognition. Any questions from the...
Yeah.
Please.
What is the meaning of the... Kallo si, you mentioned Kallo plus Asi. Asi, you are. And what is the meaning Kallo?
Kallo, yeah, it's given in the glossary here. It means clever, smart, intelligent, dexterous.
Okay, thank you.
Bonte?
Yeah.
So this Vijnana is bare awareness. Is it also similar to mindfulness?
No. Because mindfulness is something that requires a deliberate effort to cultivate, whereas Vijnana is just, well, just the consciousness that happens to anybody at any time that they're awake and knowing. Whereas mindfulness means the deliberate awareness of the object that one brings to mind and maintains.
So sati is memory.
Well, that's the original meaning is memory, but it takes on a different meaning within Buddhist sort of spiritual culture. It's more bearing in mind, you could say, whatever object of awareness is being entertained, not letting the object slip away.
Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, I think we should move on then to the next chapter. So now we come to chapter 4. And I just want to make some comments on the glossary here before we get into the grammar. On page 47, okay, if we go down the glossary, I've just made a few notes on some words. Okay, first one is anupadiyano. anupadhyano. They give freed from clinging, but it doesn't imply that one is like an arahant, completely free from clinging. But anupadhyano is the present participle. It's an unusual present participle based on the verb upadhyati, to cling. So this is not clinging. You know, so somebody who is not an arhat, who is practicing, say, mindfulness, could be anupadhyano, that he's not clinging to anything, but it doesn't mean that he's liberated from all clinging. So I prefer, rather than freed from clinging, I would say not clinging. And then going down further, for ajiva, they give life, living, but actually I don't think that's so good. I think it's livelihood, how one earns one's living. Life is more the next one, ayu, or there's another word, jivita. Okay, then going down about halfway, there's a word, kalyana. I think sincere is not so good. More, the best meaning of the three they give is simply good. And then turning the page, page 48, then you look about halfway, there's the word pamatto. They give one who is lazy, not diligent. I would say heedless or negligent. Then if you go to the bottom of page 48, you don't have the book?
No.
Oh.
But I have this, but it doesn't have the glossary.
So oh.
It's okay, I'm looking around with...
You don't have a copy?
I do have a copy.
Oh, you should have bought it. Okay, this could be a little confusing here. You see, basati, and then just below it, basamano. Now, there's actually two verbs in Pali, which are different, and in Sanskrit, the difference would be clear, because Sanskrit has different S's. But there's two verbs in Pali. One is basati, which means to speak, and the other, basati, is to shine, to be bright. And so the verb that they give here, basati, is the one shining forth, is bright. But basamano, reciting, that is the present participle of the other verb, basati, to speak. I think in Sanskrit, the verb to speak is bhashati, with the sh. But in Pali, all the S's of Sanskrit become S. Sanskrit has three S's, Sh, Sh, and S. But Pali, only S. And so Sanskrit Sh, and Sanskrit Sh, and Sanskrit S all become S.
Older than Pali?
The older Sanskrit is called Vedic Sanskrit, and the Sanskrit from the Brahmanas and Upanishads you say the old Sanskrit is older than Pali, but Sanskrit became formalized with the rules and a very fixed grammar by the Sanskrit grammarians after Pali came into use, maybe about 150 years after Pali came into use. Okay, then on the next page, you go down, there's a noun, Maria. They give fermented liquor, but actually I think Maria is, well, it's an alcoholic drink made from fruits, or it could be made from honey also. Whereas the other, Sura, is an alcoholic drink made from grain. So in the precept, well, in Chinese, I think they've merged the two together. So you say Buyin Jiu, is that it? So it's all put together just as Jiu. But in the original Pali, Sura Maria. So Sura would be things like beer, whiskey, things that are made from grain. And then Sura Maria would be wines. Okay, then going down a little further on this page, Sumapajano. No, maybe that's okay. Okay, Sadiyati. In addition to the meanings they give, I would also give accepts and receives. Oh, I see, they have Sura further down. Sura is the liquor made from grains.
May I ask a question?
Yeah. Please.
Does this have any impact on the keeping of the precept, this difference?
It doesn't have any impact on the keeping of the precepts. It's just that by mentioning the two things, sort of the precept covers both types of alcoholic drinks.
Got it.
It seems that, well, just like in English, they would have been differentiated in the Indian languages. Let's take a 10-minute break before I go into the grammar. Okay, so it's 2:09, so we'll come back at 2:20.